was in seminary, I used to sit on the back pew in chapel. And I was a naughty boy in seminary. And I would get bored and would like to rewrite many of the hymns into not so nice versions of what they were. I was a bad boy. One of my favorite hymns, though, is "Love Lifted Me." Yeah. And we all know that wonderful song. Yeah. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love indeed did lift me.
Yes, Lord.
That was the only thing, God's love,
that's right,
that could lift me.
Amen.
This was one of the hymns, though, that I mutilated. But I did it in such a way that it reflected the truth. Because you know that first verse, I was sinking deep in sin. And we used to sing that one, I was sinking deep in sin, whoopee! Because sometimes that's the way we are.
Amen, brother.
When we're sinking deep in sin, we don't care.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We wallow in sin like a pig wallowing in the dirt.
Yeah, right.
We wallow in sin and do not care that we are sinking deep in sin. We don't care.
No, no.
Until God's grace comes to us and shows us how far we fall short and shows us that we are sinking deep in sin and shows us that we are wallowing in the mire, yeah. My friends, we don't care. We don't care that Jesus died on the cross. We don't care that He took upon Himself our sins. We don't care that He was raised from the dead for our eternity. We don't care until His grace comes to us, captures us, and lifts us. Until His love lifts us, we don't care.
That's right. Amen.
We don't care.
That's right. No, no.
We see back in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall. This season of Lent, when we begin our preparation to see our culpability in the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross for our sins, in this time of looking intently at how we participated in His crucifixion and He died for us. In this season, I like to turn back to the very beginning and take a look at the fall.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do today.
Yes.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, now, that right there, I get stuck.
Yeah.
Some people just read on by, have no trouble at all. Me, I get stuck right here.
That's right.
Woman, what are you doing talking to a snake?
That's right.
Snake talks to me, there's a great shaped hole in that wall.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going the other way.
Amen.
And the woman says to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die."
That's right.
Now, right there, we got a problem. And it's not just that the woman's talking to this snake, whom we know is Satan. It's not just that this woman's talking to this snake, which is a problem in and of itself. Talking to Satan, talking to the serpent, talking to the deceiver is always a mistake.
That's right, exactly.
But give her some slack. She's young.
Okay.
And she's young.
Yes.
But what did she just do? Satan asked her, "Is there any tree you're not supposed to touch?" No, he asked her very simply. Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? He knows. It's a rhetorical question. He knows the answer to that. She says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. What did God say? What did God say? If you go back into chapter 2 and look at the prohibition that is contained therein, you'll find out what he said. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may freely eat of every tree of the garden. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat.
That's right.
For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die.
Right.
Now, did you notice what happened? The woman added to the word of God. She adds to the word of God. God said, don't eat of it. She quotes him, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Right, correct, good. And then she adds to the word of God, nor shall you touch it. My friends, we do that every day. We add our own opinions, our own interpretations, our own understandings, our own ideas to the Scripture all the time. And the woman's doing it right here in the beginning.
Yeah.
Many people say it was eating from the tree that was the fall. And I agree, that was the nail that drove it in home. Yeah. But she starts it right here.
That's right. Yeah.
Talking with this snake, yeah. Talking with Satan, the deceiver, and adding to the Word of God.
Yes.
Nor shall you touch it. Now, I will agree, touching it is not a necessarily good idea. But God didn't say, don't touch it.
Right,
God said, don't eat of it.
Right.
And here the woman is saying to herself, or acting, or presuming, God's word's not good enough. I've got to make it harder. It's hard enough to trust God. Why make it any harder? But she does.
Yeah.
Let's keep going. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, the snake, Satan, the deceiver, the trickster, applies to God deceitful motives. And indeed, we see a little bit of Satan's own fall right here. For it was his pride, his desire, his wish to be like God that fueled his fall too. And misery loves company.
Yeah.
Mm. You will not die, he says. Well, a flat out lie. We've been dying ever since.
That's right.
You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. I mean, that's the way sin usually is. It's tempting, it's desirous, it draws you in. There isn't nothing wrong with this. We are good at rationalizing our ways through sin, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
But when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise,
yeah,
she took of its fruit and ate.
Yeah.
And she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Notice something.
That's right.
That idiot wasn't off picking his nose somewhere. He was there with her. He should have stopped her talking to the snake. He should have said, wait a minute now. God didn't say anything about not touching the fruit. And he should have stopped her from eating to begin with.
Amen. Amen.
He is not as pure as the wind-driven snow here, friends. So she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Now, we're quick to think, therefore, that it's nudity that's the problem here. Well, it is in a sense, but it's not physical nudity. It's coming to the realization that we of ourselves can do nothing. We are truly spiritually naked. We are naked of righteousness. We are naked of power. We are naked of omniscience and omnipotence and understanding. The true knowledge of good and evil tells us that we are evil. Amen. And we are lacking. And when they fail to trust God and God at His word by eating of that tree, when they fail to trust God and God's word by adding to God's word, nor shall you touch it, then, my friends, they proved that they were indeed spiritually naked. Oh, my friends. What they then do is what we do. They tried to sew fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. We try to cover ourselves in such ways that are meaningless and powerless to protect ourselves. We cover ourselves with various kinds of philosophies and other religions. We cover ourselves with good works. We try to cover ourselves in any way that we can do. And notice it's we and we can do. Instead of trusting in God to cover us, we try to trust in ourselves. And just like Adam and Eve, the covering is pitiful indeed and doesn't really cover a thing. And then we also do precisely what they do next. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. I mean, they've been used to being with God, being in His real presence, abiding in His love, not being afraid of Him. But now that they failed to trust Him in His word, they're afraid of Him. Now that they see how naked that they are, now that they have fallen deep in sin, they indeed know how naked they are. And they're hiding as if you can hide from God. We try to hide from God. Oh, if I don't answer God's call today, God won't see me or know me or hear me. If I don't go to church today, God won't miss me. If I don't pray today, God won't miss the prayer. If I don't read the Bible today, God won't care. It's just another day with God. No big deal. We can try to hide all we want, my brothers and sisters, but we're just hiding behind bushes. God knows where we are. He knew where they were. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He knew where he was. "Where are you?" And he said, he didn't say, "Here I am, Lord," which is what, you know, we're called to do and what many people have done throughout Scripture. No. "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, The woman which you gave to me, she gave me from the tree and I ate." Isn't that just like a little kid? Break the vase and hide. Mom and dad find you. Who did this? "My little brother, whom you gave to me, did that. You're the one at fault, God. And if not you, then her."
Not me.
Not me, butt passing. That's what I call that, butt passing, don't you?
Amen.
Not me, her. And you gave her to me.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Can't you see yourself here?
Oh, yeah.
If it weren't for the grace of Jesus, it's exactly where we'd be.
Exactly right.
The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me."
Uh-oh.
She points at the serpent.
Uh-huh.
"The serpent tricked me and I ate." And the Lord God turns and looks at the serpent, and the serpent turns and looks, and there's no one to look at. And you just see this. I mean, you can see in your mind's eye, Adam, Eve, serpent.
Uh-oh.
Caught, you little slithery devil, you. The serpent tricked me and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." This is the first prophecy of the coming Messiah, of Jesus, whom Satan will try to strike down, and God will raise up, whom our sins will take to the cross, but who God will justify and raise up. Let's finish this. To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree, about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." My friends, the fall of Adam and Eve is our fall. The story of their adding to the Word of God is our story of adding to the Word of God. The story of their talking with Satan is our story of talking with Satan. The story of their trying to cover themselves, of their spiritual nakedness, is our story of trying to cover ourselves with our spiritual nakedness. The story of them hiding in the garden is the story of us running from God, trying to hide in the garden of this life. And the story of the proclamation of judgment is the story of judgment against us. You are dust, and unto dust you shall return. And yet notice, there is a hint of grace. The children will be born. It will be tough, but they will be born. And there will be a Messiah who comes to deliver. And that is the Messiah to whom we look in just a few short days when we reach Good Friday, God's Friday, and Easter Sunday. And we remember his death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection, which brings us eternity. My brothers and sisters, let us not run from God. Let us not try to hide from God. Let us not try to pass the buck, but accept our culpability in Christ's death on the cross and turn to him for his grace, which alone can save and transform us. which alone can justify us and make us righteous. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus, not anything else, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows, His will obey. He your Savior wants to be. Be saved today. My brothers and sisters, as we prepare to see again the death and resurrection of our Lord, He, our Savior, wants to be. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't try to pass the buck. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Save me today. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Sanctify me today. Most of us, my friends, I dare say all of us, have walked with Christ for many years. But even those of us who walk backslide, slip, and fall. And we need picking up. We need lifting out of the angry waves. We need to be sanctified. We need to be transformed. Submit yourself to Christ today. Submit yourself to Christ. Recognize your part in His death so that you can join Him in His resurrection. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.